Hello everyone, welcome to J-Talk Extra Time. John Steele here again. In this episode, you're going to hear me round up all of the midweek J2 action from round 7, which was played on Wednesday night. After that, please stick around because Magic Mike Innes is on hand. He has all the latest J3 news and action to report on in J-Talk Short Corner. But without further ado, yeah, let's talk about J2 Round 7. All 11 fixtures were played on Wednesday night, March the 30th. Yokohama FC are still top of the table. They beat Yamagata 2-1 at Mitsuzawa thanks to a brace from Koki Ogawa. Ogawa's first goal in the 19th minute was a cracker. He fired in a swerving shot from about 25 yards that flew past the startled Masaaki Goto in the Yamagata goal. And I think Goto might feel as though he could have got more contact on the ball to keep it out, but it was a vicious strike to give Yokohama the lead. Yamagata then had a case for a free kick in the build-up to Ogawa's second goal in the 65th minute. Sho Ito bundled Yamagata centre-back Hiroki Noda off the ball on the edge of the visitor's own penalty area, and then he fed Ogawa to slide in the second, so 2-0 in the 65th minute. Just 4 minutes after that, Kosuke Yamazaki thumped in a header from an Ayumu Kawai cross to hand Yamagata a lifeline at 2-1, but that's how the game finished, Yokohama FC 2, Yamagata 1. Yokohama top of the early standings with 6 wins and 1 draw from the 7 games so far, while Yamagata are struggling a little bit. They're down in 19th place at the moment. Machida Zelvia are still in close attendance. In second place, they were too strong for the bottom side, Omiya, on Wednesday evening, winning 3-0 with all the goals coming in the first half. Taiki Hirato struck early on from Shusuke Ota's pass to make it 1-0 to the home side. Kota Fukatsu then headed in a Hirato corner for 2-0 before Vinicius Araujo added a third goal from close range. This was on his first start for Machida, so well done to him. The second half was a less frenetic affair as Machida pretty much kept Omiya at arm's length until the closing stages. So yeah, it finished Machida 3, Omiya 0. Machida 5 wins and 1 draw from their 7 games so far in 2022, while Omiya's position looks increasingly perilous, doesn't it? They remain winless and they're at the foot of the table. Third place Tokyo Verdy were involved in a ludicrous finish to their game away at the second bottom side, FC Ryukyu, with the match eventually finishing 5-2 to Takafumi Hori's men. Ryukyu actually were 2-0 up in this match. They went in front thanks to Yuki Kusano's clever chipped effort in the 8th minute, and then Kusano was the provider in the 36th. He chested down across for Ryunosuke Noda to fire in the second goal for the home side. Verdy got a lifeline before half time though. They pulled a goal back with Kohei Yamakoshi heading in a corner from Ryota Kajikawa. And then it was 2-0 midway through the second period when Mizuki Arai's cross from the left flank evaded everyone and ended up going into the net off the far post. So 2-2 going into the closing stages. The real madness began with just 5 minutes of the 90 remaining. Verdy were awarded the first of 2 penalties at this point when Byron Vasquez was brought down by Yu Tomidokoro, and then Arai scored the penalty, his second goal of the game, to put Verdy 3-2 in front. Then in the 92nd minute, Ryukyu goalkeeper Junto Taguchi was deemed to have scored an own goal when he was put under some pressure by Ryoga Sato. Taguchi tried to backheel his way out of a tight spot close to his own goal line and ended up putting the ball over said goal line to make it 4-2. I'm not 100% sure all of the ball crossed the line, but it was a bad enough mistake to probably warrant conceding a goal, and the goal was given and it was 4-2. Then in the 95th minute, there was another Verdy penalty, this time for a handball from ex-Verdy player Lee Yong-jik, and Ryoga Sato scored that one, and that was the very last kick of the game, so it finished Ryukyu 2, Tokyo Verdy 5. Very J-League feel to this game, especially the last few minutes. Tokyo Verdy then still unbeaten after 7 rounds and third place in the table, as mentioned. For Ryukyu, just 1 win so far this season, and they stay in deep trouble in that relegation zone. Vegalta Sendai remain in fourth place despite losing at home again 3-1 against Oita. This time, Sendai's Serbian goalkeeper Nedeljko Stojicic, making his first appearance of the season, made a good early save from Hiroto Goya, but it was a very temporary reprieve as Oita went in front. Just moments later, Goya fed Seigo Kobayashi, who danced past his marker and fired a left-footed shot into the net for 1-0. That was in the ninth minute. A defensive mistake right after half-time allowed Oita to go 2-0 up, this time with Goya on the score sheet. After some intelligent approach play from the visitors, the ball somehow ended up at Goya's feet, about 10 yards from the goal, and he made no mistake. So 2-0 to Oita right after half-time. Sendai did come back into contention with a strange goal in the 73rd minute. I think their right-back, Takumi Mase, was stretching to put in a cross to the Oita box on a fast counter-attack. But the ball ended up looking over Oita goalkeeper Shun Takagi and into the back of the net for 2-1. So it was game on for a while. But Oita's third goal that sealed the win in the 80th minute was definitely intentional. Brazilian midfielder Eduardo Neto celebrating his first league start for Oita with a very well-taken free kick from about 20 yards that went in via the underside of the bar. So yeah, fantastic moment for him and a really well-taken free kick. So the final score was Sendai 1, Oita 3. Oita up to ninth place in the table now. Sendai suddenly looking a lot less assured after those two straight defeats. Now, the top six in the table is rounded out by Tochigi in fifth and Iwate in sixth, an unlikely pair who both won 1-0 away from home in midweek. Tochigi picked up all 3 points from their trip to Mito, with Kisho Yano scoring the all-important goal. Tochigi rotated their front line quite heavily for this game, and the two fringe players who combined for the winner were Janinho and Yano. Janinho's corner kick was headed in by Yano in the 55th minute for that vital goal. We should give a quick shout out to Tochigi goalkeeper Shuhei Kawata, who made plenty of really, really good saves in this game. I think he was definitely my man of the match. But yes, it finished Mito 0, Tochigi 1. By the same scoreline, Iwate pulled off a surprise, winning away at Okayama. No Mitch Duke, of course, for Okayama, due to him being away with Australia for the international matches last week. Iwate centre-back Kentaro Kai headed in the winner in the 15th minute from a corner, the ball just about crossing the line before being cleared away. Okayama huffed and puffed for most of the game after that, but there was no way back for them. They couldn't equalise, and it finished Okayama 0, Iwate 1. Three away wins already for Iwate this season, and you have to say they're starting to look right at home in J2. There was another 1-0 game at Fukuda Denshi Arena, where Jeff Chiba had to wait until the 94th minute to score their first home goal of the season and beat Niigata. In keeping with the theme of the round, it was a header from a corner, right at the death from Daisuke Suzuki, a centre-back, that settled this game. And that leaves Jeff in 7th and Niigata in 11th after a fairly mixed start to 2022. Speaking of mixed starts, Nagasaki got their second win of the season by winning 3-2 away at Gunma. The visitors were 2-0 up and cruising early on in this game because Ken Tokura put them in front in the 4th minute from Cristiano's cross, and then Cristiano himself fired in the second goal in the 19th minute. But Gunma pulled one back before half-time, Taiki Alagasa with a header from Yuzo Iwakami's free kick, so it was 2-1 to Nagasaki at the interval. Gunma then equalised midway through the second half. Amagasa's left wing cross was headed on target by Masaya Kojima, but blocked by Nagasaki goalkeeper Masaya Tomizawa, but the rebound was then tucked away by Koji Okamura at close range. Cristiano wasn't finished in this game though, and he scored Nagasaki's winner 12 minutes from full time with a brilliant solo effort. He cut in from the right flank and fired in a shot that went straight through Masato Kushibiki in the Gunma goal. Kushibi only just let the ball over the line before getting it back into his hands, but the goal was given, and I think that was correct. I think the ball had just about crossed the line. So a good win for Nagasaki. The final score was Gunma 2, Nagasaki 3. There was some very entertaining action in the last game on the midweek slate. It finished Kanazawa 2, Kumamoto 2. The home side started very well in this game, but it was Kumamoto who went in front thanks to a brilliant header from Toshiki Takahashi from Kaito Abe's cross in the 24th minute. But Kanazawa level things up just 7 minutes later, Hiroya Matsumoto sweeping home from 12 yards after Kyohei Sugiura had knocked down a cross for him. So it was 1-1 at half time in this game. Kumamoto then went ahead straight after the break. Koki Sakamoto put in a shot from the edge of the box. Kanazawa goalie Yuto Shirai palmed the ball out, but it rebounded off the onrushing Kumamoto playmaker Shun Ito and went in for 2-1 to the visitors. With around 15 minutes to go, Yohei Toyoda did what he does best really to equalise for Kanazawa again. He bundled the ball over the line from about a yard out after another deep cross had been nodded down into the danger zone. So it finished Kanazawa 2, Kumamoto 2. In the early table, Kanazawa 12th and Kumamoto 13th. You'd have to think they'd be fairly happy with that start to the season so far. And finally, there were a pair of goalless draws in round 7. Defences were well on top at Soyu Stadium, where Akita and Kofu produced a 0-0 draw. Both sides made good chances in this game, though. There were some good saves and some pretty good defending on show. But yes, it finished Akita 0, Kofu 0. And it was also goalless in the game between Yamaguchi and Tokushima, who were clearly the division's draw specialists early on in the season. Just a quick mention for Tokushima's Spanish goalkeeper, Jose Aurelio Suarez. This was a pretty good J2 debut for him. I know he played in the Levan Cup last weekend. That was his full debut, but this was his first game in the J2 arena. And yes, he had a pretty good debut. It finished Yamaguchi 0, Tokushima 0. Just time then for a quick preview of the round 8 matches that are coming up this weekend, because all of the teams have had a game on Wednesday night. All of the round 8 action is coming up on Sunday this week, that's April the 3rd. There are two games kicking off at 1 p.m, that's Akita hosting Iwate, as well as Kumamoto against Niigata. The majority of games are actually at 2 p.m, so we have Yamagata against Okayama, Tochigi hosting Kanazawa, and Gunma against Mito. Second placed Machida welcome Jeff Chiba to Nozita on Sunday, and leaders Yokohama host the in the relegation zone really second bottom FC Ryukyu at Mitsuzawa. Also at 2 p.m. on Sunday, it's Kofu against Sendai, Yamaguchi against Omiya. I would say it's a big game for Omiya, but they're all big games at the moment. And also Tokushima against Nagasaki. And one game at the rather unusual kickoff time, 5 p.m. at Ajinomoto Stadium. Third place Tokyo Verdy will be hosting Oita Trinita in that one. So I think that's all the midweek action reviewed and the weekend action previewed. So that's all from me for now. Thanks as always for being a listener and a downloader of the pod. We really appreciate that here at JTET. And of course, yes, if you're supporting the big pod, JTalk podcast as well, we really appreciate that too. So thanks for your support as always. I'll sign off for now, but please stay tuned. In a moment, after a bit of music, you're going to hear Magic Mike Innes. He's got all the latest J3 news for you in J-Talk Short Corner. Talk to you soon. Bye for now. J-Talk
Extra Time. Hello, everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and I'd like to say many thanks to Super Stuart Smith for taking care of business last week. In this episode, I'll be looking back on fixtures in round 3 of the J3 season and previewing games coming up in round 4. First, some items of J3 news since the last pod. Perhaps the final big signing before the closure of the transfer window, a move rumoured for several weeks now, is FC Imabari's confirmed deal that sees forward Ralf Soinchen's move from NAC Breda who play in the second tier in the player's native Netherlands. Soyntjens is 32 and has scored more than 130 goals in the Dutch league, but now takes his place in the Imabari squad alongside Marcus Indio, Mohamed Adam, Kazuki Nakagawa and others. At Iwaki FC, reserve defender Ryushiro Tanaka has announced his retirement at the age of 26. "I haven't had any problems with the team. I haven't done anything wrong. However," said the player, "I'm burnt out. I'm completely burnt out. That's all there is to it." He did not achieve his ambition of playing in the J-League. Good luck to Tanaka with whatever he decides to do next. Now onto the action, and there were two round three games on Saturday the 26th of March. In front of an Alwyn Stadium crowd of 7,846, comfortably the largest in the division so far, Matsumoto Yamaga failed in their bid to make it three straight wins to begin the campaign as they were beaten by Kagoshima United. Hiroshi Nanami made five changes to the starting 11, awarding a first-ever pro start to rookie forward Yusuke Kikui, and with ex-Kagoshima man Lukao not even on the bench. The lively Kikui drew a good save from visiting keeper Fuma Shirasaka with a low 20-yarder midway through the first half, but it was Kagoshima who went ahead when in the 28th minute, Kota Hoshi's cross from the right was headed powerfully in for an own goal by Matsumoto centre-back Yuya Ono. Soon afterwards, Kikui set up Takayuki Mae for a shot that flicked off the top of Shirasaka's bar, and 5 minutes into the second half, another young striker, Ayumu Yokoyama, pulled the home side level, converting a penalty after he himself had been brought down by Shosei Okamoto. But the left-hand side of the Matsumoto defence was given the runaround once more in the 63rd minute, Frank Romero and Junki Goryo combining well to set up Hoshi for an exquisite chip to the far post, where the unmarked Rei Yonezawa sneaked a header past Victor. Final score, Matsumoto 1, Kagoshima 2. Yamaga found wanting defensively against the first serious contenders they've encountered, to the frustration of their home support. Kagoshima clicking nicely into gear under Naoto Otake, 7 points from the opening three games. Not much doubting the hero of the hour at SC Sagamihara. That was half-time substitute Takumu Fujinuma, who scored twice as his side came from behind to beat Tegevajaro Miyazaki. Coming into the game, Sagamihara coach Takuya Takagi made five changes to the side that lost at Iwaki, dropping to the bench veterans Jungo Fujimoto and Takayuki Funayama, while for Miyazaki, captain and centre-back Kenji Dai made his first appearance of the season after injury. It was the visitors who were in the ascendancy for much of the first half, and they took the lead in stoppage time through Masato Kudo, who grabbed his second in two matches by poking the ball over the line after a cross from Ikuru Aoyama. Game of two halves though, this one, and 11 minutes into the second period, Fujinuma chested down a loose ball and from 30 yards hammered a volley over Shunsuke Ueda and in. Cue wild celebrations on and off the pitch. The decider came on 87 minutes when Fujinuma struck home Funayama's low cross, the Miyazaki defenders claiming, seemingly correctly, the ball had gone out of play during the build-up. If the name Takumu Fujinuma is unfamiliar to you, he's 24 and has had a career ravaged by injury to the extent this game marked his first league appearance since September 2019 on loan at Akita. Final score, Sagamihana 2, Miyazaki 1. A stroke of brilliance and a stroke of luck giving the points to an otherwise low-key Sagamihana. Miyazaki, in the end, unable to impose themselves on the match. The other seven games were on Sunday the 27th. At the J Village Stadium, early J3 leaders Fukushima United scored in the 93rd minute to beat YSCC Yokohama and so make it 3 wins from 3. Makoto Kawanishi came in for Shun Obu in the centre of the Fukushima back line, which at start of play hadn't previously conceded. That changed within 2.5 minutes. A sleepy Fukushima offside trap beaten by Hiroto Miyauchi's through pass for Tomoyo Hayashi to run on and finish past Kaito Yamamoto. The leaders, however, pulled back within 5 minutes, Hiroto Higuchi's long corner kick being volleyed back into the danger area by Ryota Kitamura, with Junya Takahashi finishing from close range. The combination of Takahashi and Kota Mori was a constant thorn in the side of YSCC, but that injury time winner came from a less likely source, Kosuke Tanaka's hopeful high ball reaching substitute Riku Hashimoto, who got the better of rookie Shun Nakamura and fired in. Final score, Fukushima 2, YSCC 1. It wasn't pretty, but it was determined by Toshihiro Hattori's side, other players expanding to fill the space post Ismaila and Togach. A valiant effort by YSCC, undone by lack of experience. After their catastrophic loss to Fukushima in round 2, Azul Klaro Numazu bounced back to stun the Galacticos of FC Gifu and claim their first win of the season. Ex-Gifu player Kazuki Somea got Numazu off to a fantastic start, his vicious curling free kick finding Kazushige Kirihata's top corner in the 11th minute. At the other end, Azul Klaro keeper Hiromu Musha, making his debut in favour of Masataka Nomura, was called into action to pull off a smart save from Junki Hata, but despite Gifu pressure, the home side doubled their advantage midway through the first half, Kirihata dithering in possession and allowing Ryo Watanabe to block his clearance and deflect it back over the line. A first start and first goal of the year for Watanabe. From then on, Gifu kept the Lions' share of possession, which for a period in the second half stood at 71%, but Tomoya Ugajin's shot against the post was the closest they came to getting back into the match. J3, truly Gunner J3. Final score, Numazu 2, Gifu 0. Masataka Imai and his Azul Klaro players deserve credit for their resilience. Toshiya Miura's Gifu this year, not yet so different from Takayoshi Anma's Gifu last year. Incredible injury time action at the Ninjineer Stadium, where hosts Ehime FC somehow contrived both to come back into the match with and then lose to Iwaki FC. J-League newcomers Iwaki, unbeaten and coping very well with life among the pros, went ahead just before the half hour when bad boy Riku Saga slung in across from the right and Kotaro Arima brushed aside the challenge of Shuma Mihara to head past Kenta Tokushige. The visitors then missed chance after chance to put the game to bed, most notably first when Ryoma Ito's powerful shot forced a spectacular save from Tokushige, and later when Kyowan Hoshi somehow missed the target from underneath the bar following a well-worked corner routine. Indeed, Iwaki's dominance was such that the match shot count is recorded on the J-League website as 17-2 in their favour. Even so, in the 93rd minute, Ehime managed to pull level as Toshiya Takagi nodded down a loose ball to set up 17-year-old substitute Toki Yukutomo, who swivelled to strike a superb left-foot shot that gave Shuhei Shikano no chance. In response, visiting coach Hiromasa Suguri immediately threw on rookie forward Ryo Arita, and with the clock ticking into the 5th minute of stoppage time, Ito floated a free kick into the box, Tokushige yelled clear to predictably little effect, and Arita, on the field for a matter of seconds, headed home the winner with his first touch as a pro footballer. Final score, Ehime 1, Iwaki 2, and Kiyotaka Ishimaru's Ehime can have no complaints about the result. They were utterly outplayed. Iwaki are shaping up to be at least as successful as the last team to come from the JFL. Alongside Iwaki and Kagoshima, the other team to have 7 points from their first three games are AC Nagano Parseiro, whose strong first half performance gave them a home win over Kamatamari Sanuki. Kamatamari again conceded an early goal from a poorly defended corner. Yes, even though Takeya Takahashi yelled clear, Masaki Miyasaka's set piece reaching Hiroyuki Tsuokawa to scramble it home. In the 32nd minute, Miyasaka floated a free kick into the box, which the Sanuki backline again couldn't deal with, Hayato Ikegaya firing in from 10 yards, his first goal for Nagano. And it was 3-0 before the break, a goal from open play this time, as Parseiro attacked down the left. Ikki Kawasaki's attempted interception fell only to Takuya Miyamoto, who beat Takahashi with a 20-yard shot. Sanuki managed a consolation 10 minutes from time. Early season assist King Kawasaki racing for the ball on the counter and then crossing for substitute Kakeru Aoto to head his first J-League goal. Late on, substitute Hiroshi Azuma hit the post in a one-on-one as Parseiro looked to restore their three-goal advantage, but the game ended Nagano 3, Sanuki 1. Confirmation, if it were needed, that under Yuki Stauff, the confident home side can win these sorts of matches without too much exertion, while Kamatamari under Toshihiro Nishimura can't expect to be competitive if they give away so many chances. Two straight defeats now for Katane Toyama, who conceded deep in stoppage time to go down at home to Giravants Kitakyushu. It can't help that Katane started with their third keeper in three games, Kazuki Saito coming in for Genki Yamada, who had come in for Yohei Nishibe. Goalless first half, Giravance's Yuya Takazawa coming closest 4 minutes before the break when his 15-yard shot clipped the top of the crossbar. He should have scored, and Toyama duly took the lead in the 51st minute. Shota Kawanishi feeding Mateus Leiria, who advanced into the area and hit a low-angled shot that deflected off Takaya Inui and beat Kenshin Yoshimaru. Toyama then joined the list of J3 teams that can't defend corners, a theme for the season so far. First, conceding a 54th minute equaliser when Takeaki Harigaya swung one in from the left. Takazawa beat Mateus Leiria to flick it on, and Ryo Sato headed in at the far post. And then, in stoppage time, when Harigaya kicked from the right, keeper Saito came for the ball but got nowhere close. Takeaki Homura won it in the air and Kotaro Fujikawa pounced to get it over the line. Final score, Toyama 1, Kitakyushu 2. Katane for the second week in a row losing the sort of game that promotion-winning teams don't lose. Giravants appearing surprised and relieved to pick up their first win. A first win too for Vanrare Hachinohe, a late own goal the difference between the teams in their home match with Fujieda My FC. Both sides hit the woodwork, most notably Fujieda's Tomoyuki Doi with a 50-yard effort that had Hayate Tsuta scrambling across his goal. And as we typically see in Vanrare home games, there was on display more of an attacking threat from Takumi Shimada and Yusei Kayanuma. The decisive moment came 11 minutes from time. Fujieda substitute Kaito Kamiya, on loan from the mighty Kawasaki Frontale, slicing wildly at a loose ball, sending it arcing over Kei Uchiyama and in. Final score, Hachinohe 1, Fujieda 0. Apache playing surface offering a helpful metaphor for Vanrare's showing so far this season. My FC unlucky to lose, but not integrated enough as a team to win. Finally, at the Axis Bird Stadium, it ended level between Gainare Tottori and FC Imabari. The visitors missed two chances to take an early lead, Kazaki Nakagawa hitting the bar with a header from a corner and Marcus Indio shooting off target when presented with a loose ball 8 yards out. But Imabari fell behind in the 29th minute, Tomoyo Ando's ball out from the back being intercepted and ending up with Yu Okubo, whose shot had just enough on it to beat Haruhiko Takemoto. Keeping the majority of the possession, Imabari again went close early in the second half, Ando powering a header against the bar and Takafumi Yamada's shot stinging the palms of Ken Tajiri. The equaliser finally came just before the hour, Nakagawa's snapshot taking Tajiri by surprise and squeezing inside the far post. Imabari then pressed for the winner, but in injury time, Gainare's Naoya Seno hurtled into the box and was adjudged to have been brought down by Ryoya Izumi. With the chance to claim a precious victory for Tottori, Seno's spot kick was brilliantly saved by Takemoto. Naoya Uozato's follow-up blasted against the post. Final score, Tottori 1, Imabari 1. Gainare, a fragile side, strengthened by the return of keeper Tajiri. Imabari, competitive, but with an inability to take the points their play deserves. Now to run through the top and bottom of the early season league standings. At the top, Fukushima are the only team with maximum 9 points, followed by Nagano, Kagoshima, and Iwaki, all with 7. At the other end of the table, the bottom four are Numazu sitting 15th with 3 points, then it's YSCC with 1, Tottori with 1, and at the bottom, the only team yet to get off the mark, Ehime. Just time now for a quick look ahead to the fixtures in round 4. There are 2 games on Saturday the 2nd of April. Two of the previously mentioned bottom four meet at Mitsuzawa, where YSCC host Wooden Spooners Ehime. Fujieda take on Saneki, both sides looking for consistency after early wins and losses. The other 7 games are on Sunday the 3rd, and it's looking a blockbuster of a day. It's first against second, as Fukushima put their 100% record to the test at home to Nagano. At the Iwaki Green Stadium, can the hosts keep their impressive form going and inflict what would be a disastrous 3rd straight loss on Toyama? The other remaining unbeaten club, Kagoshima, make their shortest trip of the season for the Southern Kyushu Derby at Miyazaki. A pair of relegated sides clash at Sagamihara Gion Stadium, where the visitors are Matsumoto, that's 6th against 5th. Gifu have the perfect opportunity to bounce back from their shock defeat at Numazu. They're at home to Tottori. Speaking of Numazu, they make the long trip to Fortress Pry Food Stadium, home of Hachinohe. And Kitakyushu play host for a first ever league meeting with Imabari. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.